May it please the Court, I am Rick B. Alchok, and I represent the petitioner in this matter.
All right, we'll be glad to hear from you.
With me at counsel table is Barbara Atkins, Deputy General Counsel. Your Honors, the FLRA acted contrary to law when it failed to order the reimbursement of union dues as a remedy for the IRS's unlawful revocation of union dues authorization. Section 7115 imposes an absolute duty upon agencies to honor employee dues withholding authorizations. It's been interpreted as a mandatory and non-discretionary duty. Once a dues authorization is in effect, the ability to revoke a revocation must be written and in accordance with negotiated procedures. In this case, it is undisputed that the negotiated procedures were lawful and that the revocations at issue did not comply. The unbroken line of authority of line of precedent of authority cases establishes that the remedy for an agency's violation of Section 7115 is reimbursement of lost dues. This remedy has been imposed in every procedural posture where an agency has refused to begin withdrawing dues upon receipt of a valid dues authorization, when an agency, during the course of an employee's employment with the agency, when the agency commits error and for some reason withdraws the incorrect amount of dues, and where an employee has submitted an invalid dues revocation, whether that's invalid due to the statute or invalid due to negotiated procedures. In all of these instances, the authority is ordered as a remedy the reimbursement of dues to the union.
But you don't claim to have a case, as they say, on all fours with this one.
I do, actually. Veterans Administration, FLRA decision, specifically ordered reimbursement in a case where the agency improperly processed dues revocation forms that were submitted outside the contractual period of time.
I'm sorry, be a little more specific than improperly processed.
In Veterans Administration.
It seems to matter how the nature of the impropriety, if you will.
With respect, I'm not sure that it does, actually. In Veterans Administration.
So if an employee, after 1 year of authorization, comes to the agency and says, all right, I'm through with the union, cut me off, signature is missing, right, countersignature is missing, that is what some would regard as sort of a technical violation. Still a violation, but it's a technical violation. So I can imagine in that situation that the agency might not be required to make full restitution immediately.
Well,
hypothetically speaking. Do you have a case of that sort, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, I do. Veterans Administration was a case where employees, when they submitted their dues revocation, it was outside the mere contractual time period. That was not a case which involved the statutory one-year time period. Veterans Administration was a contractual time period during which employees had to submit their revocation.
Okay, see, then it's not on all fours with this. Because this case involves at least some that were statutorily improper, correct? Or am I wrong about that?
Well, in a sense, you're right. Because the negotiated procedures are lawful, they're lawful under the federal labor statute. And so in processing that, the agency committed an unfair labor practice. And that was so held by the authority. That's not at issue. In one sense, you're correct. The processing of those revocations was invalid under the statute. The union's position is that, petitioner's position is that, that supports the remedy that we're seeking here, which is full reimbursement. In short, the revocation should never have been processed. And without a valid revocation, the absolute duty upon the agency to continue withholding and allotting dues to the union remains in force. There are no cases to the contrary. With respect to, there is Veterans Administration, and then there's two other cases that were cited in the briefs below where the revocations were submitted in violation of the statutory one-year time period. And in those cases as well, the authority ordered full reimbursement to the union. In fact, there's never been a case in which the authority has failed to order full reimbursement to the union for their lost dues. Now, with respect
to... So this arbitrator was just dumb? is that what you say? With all respect to the arbitrator.
No. The arbitrator...
You say there's never been a case where the arbitrator failed to order full restitution?
Where the authority failed to order full restitution. I'm not aware of any arbitration decisions where they failed to order reimbursement, but I'm not sure that there is or is not. In this case, however, the arbitrator in this case would be required to follow authority precedent, which brings us back to where we are. There's never been a case in which reimbursement hasn't been ordered. I wouldn't call the arbitrator dumb. I think he just got it wrong. Sometimes arbitrators get it wrong, and this is one of those circumstances. Now, with respect to the remedy that he ordered, I would note, because it's contrary to law, he was not due any discretion in the remedy that he ordered. He ordered a remedy that was contrary to law. So the authority...
Well, he was dumb. I mean, my struggle here is you present what appears to be the easiest case in the world. And then I say, well, why are we here? If the case is so easy and the correct outcome is so obvious, why are we here?
I agree that it's a simple case. The violation is clear. Everybody acknowledges the violation. Everybody acknowledges that the negotiated procedures were valid.
Right.
And
you're going to get some reimbursements, but maybe not full reimbursement.
We should get full reimbursement.
Okay, so the question is, where's that, what justification is there for you not to get full reimbursement? And I thought, here's what I thought the case came down to. It was sort of a technical violation. Some employees, some former members, really don't want to be members. So that even if the union had its opportunity to persuade certain members not to withdraw their revocation, not to withdraw their membership, affect their revocations, in fact, you're now going to have a chance to persuade those people, and you're going to fail to persuade some of them. And as I understand the order, you shouldn't be reimbursed for those. Am I right in that that's what the case comes down to? If a person would have revoked, even under a proper procedure, why should you get what some might call the windfall of their continued membership beyond the point when you wouldn't have been able to hold on to them?
Well, I have several answers.
Okay.
First, the statute requires that the agency continue withholding dues and allotting them to the
union. I understand that. There's no question it was a violation.
Okay. Second, the proposed remedy that the arbitrator ordered puts the onus on the party that did nothing wrong in the case. It's impossible at this point to go back to the situation that would have been contemplated by the contract where an attorney, where an employee...
Why not? Why is it impossible?
Because...
You know who all the people are.
We do, yes.
And you can talk to them.
Yes, we do.
And I suppose some of them have left federal service, so that might be a wrinkle. But for someone who's still in federal service, you can go talk to them and say, you know, we didn't get a chance to persuade you not to file your revocation, don't you want to change your mind? He or she will say yes, or he or she will say no. I don't see why you can't reconstruct that process.
Well, first of all,
not to suggest it's easy, but...
No, well, first of all, I actually, it's not in the record. I would not be surprised if some of the employees have rejoined since that period of time.
Oh, I agree.
However, I would note, a federal employee can join a union at any time they want. So when you get into a circumstance where you go up to the employee and you say, wouldn't you like to rejoin the union? You convince them to do that. We're a strong union. I have no doubt that that's happened. Then you get into the next question. Well, why don't you give us all the retroactive dues that you should have been paying us? Why would that happen? The employee can rejoin, get all the benefits of membership at that time that they rejoin. What they have never done is... so anyway, the...
Isn't the arbitrator giving you the right that you lost? The right you lost was the ability to talk the employee out of revoking. And this is what the arbitrator's given to you, the chance to talk to them again and see if you can talk them out of it.
No, I would say the real issue here is the agency's unlawful revocation of the dues withholdings. The right that we lost was...
I hate to interrupt you, because I want to make sure I understand that argument. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that because the procedures were not followed, the revocations are void?
Yes, the revocations should never have been. I don't think it's in dispute.
What your argument comes down to is that they're void.
They are essentially void. They should never have been processed. And since the revocation should never have been processed, the dues authorizations that were there at the beginning remain in effect. And the agency has an absolute duty under long-standing authority precedent to honor those dues authorizations. And not only that, under the statute, once those dues authorizations are honored, they have an absolute duty to then allot them to the union.
All right. Is there any case law that supports that view, that a failure to follow the technicalities of the revocation renders the revocations void?
Yes. Veterans Administration, which was a case about the violation of the negotiated procedures. I would actually, with respect, dispute the notion that this is a mere technical violation of the contract. The parties came to an agreement on negotiated procedures. It's very important for the union to speak with employees to ensure, to address any of the issues they have with the union, to ensure there's not some sort of a mistake happening with the submittal of the revocation. This is not a technicality. This is a major part of the parties' negotiated agreement in this matter. But to answer your question, Veterans Administration did involve the violation of negotiated contractual time period for the submission of revocation. Because the agency violated, in that case, some 25 revocations that were submitted 1 month after the time frame the parties had negotiated, the authority ordered reimbursement. So that case is directly on point, and there's never been a case to the contrary.
Well, that case involved timing of the revocation, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. Although I would say it was a
procedural.
It was a contractual. It was a contractual time period, and I would say that is in essence a procedural requirement. There's no the statute doesn't provide that the time frame for submitting of a revocation has to be December. The parties choose the time frame for the submission of revocations based on their own needs and their own considerations. For instance, the union in this case, our time period was pay period, I think it was 15. You know, the parties choose those time periods for a variety of reasons, but there's no law of nature that says that any particular time period has to be the one you follow. In Veterans Administration, the employees happen to submit during a time period that wasn't called for in the contract. That seems to me to be more of a technical violation than the one here, where the union seeks to talk to employees, find out what's going on, see if they can address any issues, see if they can address any mistakes, and then see if the employee still wants to be a member. It was upheld as a valid negotiated procedure, and allegations that it was coercive were explicitly rejected. So in that respect, Veterans Administration is directly on point. And in fact, I think the factual background of this case is even stronger.
Thank you. I think we understand your position, but if you have further argument you want to make, we're still glad to listen.
I'll wait. My time's up. I'll almost.
Okay. Well, you do have some time reserved.
Thank you.
Ms. Koppel.
I'm Rosa Coppell, representing Respondent Federal Labor Relations Authority. Let me begin by addressing my fellow counsel's view that the Veterans Administration Lakeside case is on all fours with this one. It is not. There, the agency, by accepting untimely revocations, acted not only inconsistently with the collective bargaining agreement, but in that case, the authority specifically found that the agency acted contrary to the statute, Section 7115.
And here we have a latest violation of the CBA.
Right. And that's, it's significant that there was a violation of the statute that the employees have a right under the statute to revoke at annual intervals agreed to by the parties. If an employee submits its revocation outside of the agreed upon annual interval, then under the statute, that is not a valid revocation. It's not timely. This, the revocations in this case were timely. At least there was no dispute as to that. So the only issue here is whether the remedy that NTEU seeks for the IRS's unfair labor practice is compelled by law. In the authority's view, it is not compelled by law. The arbitrator's award, as the authority found, was an attempt to make the union whole for the agency's unfair labor practice. There's no dispute that this is what the arbitrator should have done, attempt to award make-whole remedy to the union. The union's objection is to the specific relief that the arbitrator awarded. The union contends that the arbitrator could have and therefore should have awarded the relief of the union's choice.
And if I may ask you about that.
Okay.
When the union says the arbitrator should have awarded and that authority should have affirmed such an award, a full restitution. Do I understand that this money was to come from the agency without recoupment by the agency from the employees who were improperly permitted to revoke? Or do I understand that this money was to come from the agency with the agency recouping, either voluntarily or involuntarily, those monies from the employees who were improperly permitted to revoke?
Under the collective bargaining agreement in Article 10, Section 9C and Article 53, Section 9, the right of the agency's right of recoupment to seek recoupment from the agency from the employees is provided for, as is the employee's right to seek a waiver, and that's also provided.
And what would be the waiver? In other words, the employee would come in and say, you know, I realize I got sort of a windfall, but it would be a hardship on me and my family if you were to make me pay those unpaid dues.
Yes,
is that how it works?
That would be how it worked. And then under 5 U.S. Code Section 5584, the agency would consider whether it's in the public interest to collect that overpayment, or whether it's in the interest of the government and in the public interest, in the interest of equity.
So do I understand then that under any circumstances, the money, the agency at a minimum could look back to the employees to recoup whatever restitution was paid to the union?
Yeah, well, ultimately the money does come, the source of the money is the employee's salary. And
Absent a waiver. Okay,
and then
thanks.
The agency's just a conduit passing the funds on from one to the other.
So again, not to put too fine a point on it, the union here is going after their members.
Ultimately.
Subject to the waiver and the public interest.
Right. The source of funds is the employee.
I see. And by the way, is there any procedure for the employee other than the waiver process to say, no, I'm no longer a member, I don't want to rejoin, and I don't want you to, you know, withhold from my pay the 18 months that I got away with, even through the improper revocation?
That was the employee's intent when they submitted the revocation forms.
Except they hadn't been subjected to the persuasive powers of the union representatives to change their mind, right?
And then
we don't really know what the employee would have done.
Exactly, that's right.
Okay.
And that's exactly why the arbitrator's remedy makes sense. because no, no, we don't.
Well, maybe why it doesn't make sense. I don't know.
You think this system makes them whole?
That makes the union whole?
You think it
yes,
does?
Yes, it does, because what the union lost as a result of the agency's unfair labor practice were not the dues themselves. It was the employees who voluntarily and without coercion decided to withdraw their support for the union.
Well, didn't you send the email to them and told them, I'm not going to, if you ask for a revocation, I'm not going to require you to get the signature.
That's right, and that was an unfair labor practice.
Yeah, right, but you said on their own, you encouraged them to do it by your violation, unfair practice. You encouraged them to do it.
We didn't encourage them to revoke. They would have done that anyway.
Well, you don't know that. You told them first in the email, if you revoke, I'm going to allow it to be processed without the signature. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's before you got...
That's the unfair labor practice.
Before you got any... revocation request, your email went out, correct?
Although there were revocation requests the year before.
We're talking about this year. That year, your email preceded the request, correct?
Not necessarily. There were, and the record doesn't indicate the timing of the 1,600 revocation requests in 2006.
Well, some of the 1,100, the 1,167,
right.
They all came after your email.
Okay, if that's what the record indicates, but that's
well, don't you know the record, Counsel?
Okay, but it wasn't.
But don't you know the record? Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that what the record indicates? That you sent the email and said, if you request, I'm going to process
right.
it without it.
That's right. That's
so
correct.
Your unfair right. labor practice. You encouraged them to do it,
or told them they didn't have to undergo that process.
Well,
but
it was clear what you were indicating. That that's what unfair labor practices are.
That's right,
you
and there was an unfair labor practice.
You undermine the union's right to have a first crack at saying, don't do this, because an evil person is trying to get you to, you know,
right.
that kind
and,
of thing.
And,
right?
And the arbitrator and the authority
right.
found that this was an unfair
right.
labor
and
practice.
And you're saying you're being made whole solely because now you have a right now to go back to that 1,167 people
right.
and say, listen, come back into the union. Right? That makes you whole?
That gives the union what they lost as a result of the unfair labor practice, which was the process.
These people were members.
And they can choose to become members, and again, if they're persuaded by the
think
union.
About this. If that's the law, then you with impunity can violate the law. Because basically what you do is you get to say, look, let me see what I can call out their membership. If you do this, I'm going to let you do without their signature. You get 11,000. Okay, they get a chance to get half of them back. You win. You got 500 people that are no longer members.
But it wasn't what the agency did alone that caused the revocation. And in fact, the record shows that there's no evidence that the employees did not do this voluntarily. And the arbitrator found and the authority affirmed that the agency did not coerce anything.
But don't you understand that the whole point of that, you get away with it? What penalty is the, you should try this every year then.
I mean, I wouldn't characterize it as the agency getting away with it.
Follow my question. Could you lose under this scheme? Even with an unfair finding against you, you could never lose because at worst could happen all 11 come back in. If one doesn't, you win.
But there's still
is that correct?
There's still a finding of an unfair labor practice. There's a notice that goes out to all employees. So it's not good for the agency.
It's not good for it. You hear
because
now trying
a,
to
there's
argue.
A notice out there that
it doesn't seem like you seem to be rather brazen now. You don't seem to be very remorseful at all.
There was an unfair labor practice, counsel.
You said there was a penalty, but you don't seem to be remorseful at all. You come here brazenly and said, "So what?" So I don't think anything happened to you.
Did happen to the union. They lost their opportunity under the sign-off process to persuade the employees not to withdraw their support.
No, for you, IRS. I mean, basically, nothing happened at all.
By you, you mean the agency?
Yeah, the agency. Nothing happened.
Well, they were found to have committed an unfair labor practice.
But what does it matter? I mean, Judge Gregory is asking you, why wouldn't the IRS or the Veterans Administration or the DEA or anybody just do this every year?
because they would be on record of committing an unfair labor practice, and they would have to issue this notice, and the agency was not happy about issuing an agency-wide notice on this. But the focus here is not is what is the appropriate remedy? What makes the union whole?
I take it there's no sovereign immunity problem here, if I understand the answer.
We would take the position, although we did not address that in our decision, we would take the position that there's not a sovereign immunity issue because the source of funds is from
the employee.
Not sovereign, right.
Right.
So we don't see that as a bar. And NTU attempted to show that its relief was compelled by law by citing to the cases my fellow counsel mentioned on pages 14 to 16 of its brief. But those cases were different. First of all, none of them involved reviewing an arbitrator's remedy. An arbitrator's remedy for an unfair labor practice is entitled to a high degree of deference. And also in these cases, there were different, except for the VA Lakeside case, which we discussed, the unfair labor practices were different. The administrative law judges attempted to do what the arbitrator attempted to do here, was to provide status quo anti-relief. But the unfair labor practices in those cases were that the agency refused to honor the employee's request to withhold the fees, or that they were improperly withheld. Not the almost opposite situation here, where the agency honored the employee's request to withdraw their support to the union. So you've got different facts, different unfair labor practices, and that would explain why there was different relief in those cases.
Couldn't the burden be on you to show that otherwise they would have, the employees wanted to revoke, since it's understood on this record you are violated?
The agency committing an unfair labor practice, right.
You're before me in terms of you're presenting the other side. When I say you,
you're the
only person here I can talk to.
Okay, being the agency or the federal.
I can't talk to anybody else.
Right, okay.
All right, so you, in that sense. It seemed to be that, I lost my thought of what my question was. I'm trying to figure out who to ask the question to. No, go ahead.
Okay. I really had anything further. Unless there are additional questions.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We understand your position. The appellant have replied.
Just a few points. First, I would stress that in that Veterans Administration case, the authority did hold that those revocations were invalid. And in footnote 4 of that case, they did make it clear that they were relying on the contractual language as opposed to the statutory language. In fact, they stated that at the time of the contractual time period, some employees may not have even reached their one-year period during which they aren't permitted to revoke, and yet they would still hold that that contractual time period was going to limit the employee's ability to re-invoke. I think it's clear here that the arbitrator was attempting to compromise. He was attempting to craft a remedy that would satisfy all the parties.
And your burden is to show an utter lack of rationality in that compromise, correct?
No, that's incorrect.
You don't have the burden to show a lack of any plausible, reasonable basis for the arbitrator's compromise, as you put it?
No, we have the obligation.
Compromise almost as a matter of law connotes reasonableness.
No, in fact, here where the remedy was contrary to law, that's what we have to demonstrate. And
you agree that our standard of review is sort of multifaceted.
Yeah.
If it's contrary to law, it clearly is an abuse of discretion. But it's really an arbitrary and capricious standard of review, isn't it?
Yes, to the extent that a decision that's contrary to law automatically arbitrary.
Well, contrary
yes.
to law, it's an abuse of discretion.
Yes.
But my question is, isn't our standard arbitrary and capricious?
I believe the standard is arbitrary, capricious, or contrary to law. I would agree with you that to the extent that a decision is contrary to law, it must also be arbitrary and capricious. So I would agree with that, yes.
So what law absolutely compelled the agency to award you full monetary relief?
Section 7115, as interpreted over approximately 30 years by the FLRA, provides that reimbursement to the union is the mandated remedy in situations like this, where an agency...
What law says full unconditional reimbursement to the union,
well,
no matter what the facts are?
Well, again, Section, not to beat a dead horse, but Section 7115 provides that the agency has an absolute duty to withhold dues and allot them to
that's
the union.
That's a violation. There's no question here that there was a violation. You're here on the remedy.
Yes, sir.
So you don't prove your entitlement to a particular remedy by repeatedly reminding us, unnecessarily, that there was a violation. We accept that. The agency accepts that. That's not disputed. Question is, why was this particular remedy irrational? Not why wasn't it the best remedy that the agency could have awarded, but why was it irrational? Essentially, I think you agree with my formulation of the question.
No, I would say that to answer the question, over the last approximately 30 years, the authority has always held that this is the remedy that's appropriate when the, you're right, admitted violation of Section 7115 has occurred. In the FLRA decision in Department of Navy, not the D.C. Circuit decision, the FLRA decision in Department of Navy, the authority makes clear, they state that, this is back in 1984, and at that point, they're already making clear that we have repeatedly held that the appropriate remedy in a circumstance where Section 7115 has been violated is full reimbursement to the union.
This sounds like you're here, some district judge somewhere, you know, in 13 straight cases did X. And then in a case very similar to those other 13, the judge does Y. And you come here and say, well, the judge committed error or abused her discretion because in this instance, the judge did Y, whereas in the prior 13 instances, the judge did X. I'm not sure I grasp how that constitutes an abuse of discretion or violation of law.
I would say that the prior authority decisions haven't merely ordered the reimbursement. The prior authority decisions have made clear that that is the remedy that should be imposed. The authority isn't merely rubber stamping as each one of these cases comes up and says, well, you know, reimbursement, reimbursement, reimbursement. They have at times explained that reimbursement is the appropriate remedy. For instance, in that Department of Navy case, the FLRA Department of Navy case, they explain that, you know, we have, they go through and they say, we have repeatedly said that the appropriate remedy in a circumstance for a violation of Section 7115 is full reimbursement, and we are going to order full reimbursement here. The fact that the authority has repeatedly followed that command, I think, is persuasive evidence that we are correct, that that is the authority's interpretation of the law in this case, that that's the required remedy.
Well, a little about the Chief.
Yes, sir.
The question is, though, as here, notwithstanding the violation, one could clearly say, it's not an argument, but it's the fact. Notwithstanding the violation, every revocation was processed through a request for something. Even though the violation occurred, they did request the revocation. I mean, the end. Do you have anywhere that says that violation, notwithstanding the violation, it was a request for one, as opposed to you just didn't hold the dues or you didn't do those things? What about that? Because here, that's a little difference here. Violation, unfair labor practice, but everyone who was dropped did request being dropped.
It is true that each of the employees did begin the process of the revocation. Right. That is accurate.
So, I mean, my question is, for all these cases, there was always back pay when that was a violation?
Yes, in every case in which something, invalid revocation, now, there's more cases where it's the failure to start withholding dues.
Right.
But in all of the cases in which there's been an invalid revocation, whether statutory or contractual, the remedy has been reimbursement dues.
Whether revocation was initiated by the employee.
Yes, that Veterans Administration case, all of those revocations were initiated by the employees.
Thank you very much. I'll ask the clerk to adjourn court, and then we'll come down and greet counsel.